From Deep Inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And I'm Aaron Margosis.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. We've got a special guest here this week, Aaron Margosis.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
It's been a long time.
It's going to be years, right?
Many.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's been a while. We've been doing this show a while, so it's hard to remember now all the things we've done. But
I think Kennedy was still president.
Back in the Camelot days, right? Yeah. Yeah. So you're back to tell us about your new book.
I have a new book. That's right.
New book that should be of interest to our viewership.
Yes. Absolutely. So the first book was
what year was that?
It was 2011. Mark Rusinovich and I co-authored a book documenting the SysInternals tools called Windows SysInternals Administrator's Reference.
The absolute Bible, the quintessential
with the unwieldy book. Title and the disproportionate font sizes.
Oh yeah, look at that. Mark gets top billing and you're like this.
Well,
also,
of course he gets top billing. There's no argument about that. But they forgot to include the magnifying glass so you could read my name off the cover.
Right.
So they fixed that this time with a new book by shrinking his name. So troubleshooting with the Windows SysInternals tools. One of the reasons for the rename was this isn't really about IT admins. It's about anyone who does technical work on the Windows platform.
Yeah, it is a better title.
There's a huge crossover between developers and IT pros for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And people just do troubleshooting. So we have the new book out. It just came out in October of 2016. And it's, I think, a significant improvement over the first book.
It's a heftier tome.
It is. It's 40%. I think the font size is actually smaller.
And the paper looks thinner, too.
And but it's 40% more pages, even with that. We put a lot more material into the book this time.
A lot of fundamentals are in it. I mean, the first book was good for this, too, but you cover the absolute basics of what Windows is as well.
And that's right.
You can take the Windows Internals book approach, but that thing is just so heavy and deep. It's not designed for that cursory, introductory approach to things. Right. And I think one of the things you really do now very, very well is, what's a process? What's a thread? What's the basic concepts of Windows?
Right. I really like the Windows core concepts chapter in the beginning, in the intro part, because, we do talk about some things that are necessary to know, and in some cases not very well documented in other places. In fact, we have some documentation here that I don't think exists anywhere else describing some of the internals of App Container, which didn't exist when we did the first book, because that was introduced in Windows 8 and enhanced some in Windows 10. But there's very little description anywhere of exactly how the App Container rules work. The processing of how an access check is performed now when an app is running inside an App Container.
It's like a security bubble. Is that an App Container?
That's right, yeah. So so-called modern apps or universal Windows apps on Windows 10 run inside of a much more tightly constrained environment where they basically cannot affect anything outside of the app and the app's data. They cannot affect your user profile, they cannot affect other apps. So one of the improvements of it was in Windows Vista, Windows introduced the integrity model. So you could have Internet Explorer protected mode running at low integrity. It could not affect a lot of things at medium integrity, like most of your apps, most of your data. You couldn't drop stuff into the run key, into your startup folder, things like that. But it could affect anything else also running at low integrity. Mm. With App Container, they create a per app isolation boundary, so
it's kind of like cutting it the other way.
Yes, exactly.
I really love that there's a lot of that kind of just core architectural content in there, because that stuff is kind of timeless, right? A lot of this stuff, maybe that's more about the tools is excellent, and it's all updated for the latest and greatest tools. But the other stuff, like I still have. This will show my age here, but I still, on my shelf, have the old Peter Norton Programmer's Guide to the IBM PC, and I still use it, like, at least once a year.
Wow.
I am not kidding. Like, every once in a while, somebody will ask me about some boot issue, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's early enough in boot. It's on legacy BIOS or something, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's that interrupt call. So every once in a while, or actually the most recent time I used it was to look up keyboard scan codes, which are still relevant, right?
Yep.
So some of that stuff, So I love that there's a lot of this sort of core Windows architecture stuff, because that stuff stays pretty current for a long, long time. So a book like this is, I think, going to be valuable for a long time.
Yeah, great. I hope so. Yeah. So other things, other changes also, obviously the SysInternals tools have been updated a lot since the first book came out.
Yeah, it's about four years.
Yeah, 5 years worth of changes. And so we document all the new features that are in there and some of the new tools that didn't exist 5 years ago, for example, Sysmon. And of course, you know, the procdump tool, procdump was, you know,
it was a baby.
But it was, yeah, it was, you know.
I think it was version 4, I think, in the first book.
Yeah, so maybe in the first book, it it was part of the process diagnostics chapter. Mm. And by the time we got around to the second book, it had grown so much, thanks to Andrew Richards, all the work he did, that it needed its own chapter. And so it's been upgraded to a full chapter. And there's a whole section in there about how it integrates with Process Monitor. Mm. So that Process Monitor, in addition to capturing file, registry, network, and process events, can also see things like exceptions and debug messages, and you know, other things that captures, you know, CPU utilization. You know, this thing is spinning at 80% plus.
Performance
or whatever.
Counters, and memory usage.
Exactly, and all that stuff
debug
can now
spew,
show up into your procmon,
which is the quintessential tool for quick ad hoc timeline investigation.
Yep.
I think you know, all the tools have grown over the years, and I think the chapters grew with them.
Yeah.
I know procdump had, I think, about 10 or 15 switches last time. Now we actually have all letters of the alphabet field.
Right. We're going to start using Cyrillic switches in there. You know?
For your switches. You have to like look up the keyboard scan codes to figure out how to type them.
We'll incorporate the Peter Norton book in the third edition.
Exactly, as an appendix.
Start typing Alt-158 to get to the thing.
That's right.
So,
That's right.
Yeah, but I think the whole book, from a basic beginning core concept is great. The way that you describe each tool is very fluid, methodical, and it's a really easy learning curve. And then you finish it off with the case of the unexplained section, which also got quite a beefy increase.
So. Yes, massive. That's what happened with the first book, to be quite honest, is we wrote the chapters about each of the tools, right, and described all the tools, and we were so exhausted. You know, we came up with, you know, this many case of the unexplained we were going to incorporate, and we're like, okay, we're done. We got to ship this thing.
Yeah.
Second time around. Oh, and then because you know, I've worked on that for a while, the tools have continued to update. We have to go back and update.
Yeah, I was guilty of that.
The tool chapters again.
A lot more work for everyone.
Yeah. So what happened? What we did with the second book is we started out by writing Case the Unexplained and nail all those down and then go through the tools ideally once. By focusing on it first, we put in tons
and
more
I forget
cases.
The Case the Unexplained that much.
And but those are great. Loves those because it's like a detective story, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that you've actually split it up into categories this time, but you've which is the way Mark kind of thinks of it too when he does public speaking.
It's in categories the first
was it?
Time
was
also, yeah.
Oh, okay, error messages and how to track them down.
Right.
Crashes.
You've got more categories.
Yeah, I think you've got more categories,
chapters.
Yeah. Crashes, which is, we've talked about that on Defrag Tools a bit. We kind of focus on that a bit. Hangs and sluggish performance, which is a fantastic, always an interesting investigation vector. Mm-hmm. Malware, I think, is a new one. Maybe not.
No.
But yeah, malware's got a fair bit there. It's a good 20 or 30 pages worth. Understanding system behavior, which is a good under the hood thing. Yeah. And then developer troubleshooting is the last one.
Time we had error messages, hangs and sluggish performance,
and malware.
And this time, error messages, crashes is a separate, hangs and sluggish performance, malware, understanding system behavior, which is just about like figuring out things about Windows. And this one actually takes advantage of some documentation we did in the procmon chapter that we didn't do in the first book. In the first book, we say you can save your trace as XML, right? So normally you save a trace as PML, which is a proprietary binary undocumented file format that gives you all the information that you capture in a procmon trace saved into the file. You can also save it as XML. And in the first book, that's what we said. You can save as XML, period.
No.
Yes.
Detail about
it. You know, I mean, it's a fact. XML is self-documenting. You don't need to say anything else about it, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So this time, we document the full schema. Mm. And then there's two cases of the unexplained in understanding system behavior that shows here's how we use the XML schema using PowerShell, which is a great tool for
fantastic show,
with XML to solve some problems. Mm. And it also describes, because of that, a little bit of the internal structure of Procmon. So, for example, one of the cases had all these short-lived processes, tons of them, and trying to figure out, like, okay, how much time are they each using up? Mm. So you can look up, you know, on a process exit, I think it is, what the accumulated process utilization was for the process, CPU utilization. But figuring out which processes to look at becomes difficult because when you have lots and lots of short-lived processes, you're guaranteed that there's going to be overlap in the or duplication in the process IDs. A process ID is guaranteed to be unique at any given point in time on a computer.
But that's the key point, though, isn't it?
At that time, right?
Time.
So process ID 2220, at that instant, there's no other process or thread with that ID.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But as soon as that process exits, it's up for reuse. And so there's, when you save as XML, you can actually see identifiers distinguishing this 2220 from that 2220.
Yeah.
Which goes even further, by the way, in Sysmon, because in Sysmon, we need a way to uniquely identify a process across, not just on one computer, but throughout an enterprise. Because you're capturing information about processes that were launched on, you know, computers all around the enterprise, saving it in one database, and then trying to figure out what's what. Mm. And so there's unique identifiers that Sysmon creates to identify a unique process on the system.
Is that true for thread IDs as well?
No, because I don't think anything in Sysmon looks at thread IDs that I can recall.
And what about process monitor?
It's, yeah.
Well, process monitor, I think there's an association with the TID and the PID. Within itself, so that's kind of that's cool. So what was the hardest part and the easiest part of writing the book?
The hardest part was making sure to have the time to do it.
I know how much time you spent on the first one, so I assume the second one was equally as big a behemoth.
So the first one took 2 years.
Yeah.
Every vacation weekend.
Thousands of hours.
Yeah. I just would, you know, at the end of the year, I've got use or lose vacation. I would go into the basement and spend it there. And when the family went on vacations, they're down at the beach, I'm up at the house working on the book.
Yeah.
The second book, I thought, you know, it's just an addition to the first book, right? We're not rewriting everything.
So naive.
So I figured this will take a year. And it took three. And part of it was that I did not make the sacrifices the second time around and actually took vacations.
How dare you?
I know.
Mm. Mark must have been very
unhappy. Tell my manager.
Don't tell Mark.
I would say that if there was like one companion book that goes along with our show, that this is probably
A companion book for Windows, quite frankly.
Well, really for Windows, yeah.
Who hasn't had something happen on their box that they need to record? And this is the way to do it, right? I didn't ask, what's the most enjoyable part? Finishing? Hearing that I've already changed proc dump already,
I love learning stuff.
Need you to rewrite that.
I love learning new things about the platform and figuring out new ways to solve problems. So I always enjoyed that part.
I think that's what drove Mark to write the Windows internals books. He was investigating the OS, and particularly the lower versions of the book, it was just an exercise of discovery.
Yes, which built on top of what he'd already been doing, you know, creating the knowledge base. That's where he created the sysinternals tools, was to find out more about Windows.
Yeah.
And then from there, he started writing, co-authoring the Windows internals books with David Solomon.
Kind of like a reverse engineering exercise.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
With an API documentation. Well, actually, it was lack of API documentation that drove him to do it, really, I guess. So very cool. Well, thank you for showing us that. Go out and buy it. I'm sure it's on every single decent website out there, Amazon, everything else.
Yeah.
Just go buy it.
Microsoft Press.
Enjoy it. And is there any feedback alias or anything? Is it some way of asking questions or anything like that? Or should I just get them to email?
If anybody reads it and wants to post really nice things about it on Amazon, more Amazon reviews would be great. Yeah. Feedback, I believe there is
name address.
Somewhere in the book that does say where to provide feedback and errata, you know, because
yeah.
there might be a mistake in there somewhere that needs to be corrected.
But in general,
yeah, a semicolon that should be a colon or something like that. So please point it out.
And as I said, you can always just email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. We can forward it to Aaron for sure.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, all right. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
It's been too long.
Yeah.
And we'll see you actually next week as well. So,
troubleshooting with the Windows sysinternals tools. Is it actually called Second Edition, or it's just you changed the name, but it's essentially the update to the end?
Yeah, we kind of call it Second Edition in parentheses.
Gotcha.
But not on the cover.
Awesome.
Oh, and you have to read the forward also.
The forward is
by a noted,
hilarious.
A noted person.
A noted person.
Which you can actually find somewhere else as little asterisks. Pages and pages and pages away.
Are we going to say who it is, or people have to buy the book?
You have to buy it.
Out. All right.
Worthy of a read.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, that's our show. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes down there or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for watching.
See you next week.
Thank you.